Outlander, stand to and pay tribute to the Swords and Scrolls podcast, where a rotating rogues gallery joins me in discussing comics and more in the genre of heroic fantasy. I am Jared Savitas, your guide in the Battle of the Barbarians. Everyone join me in welcoming back to the Land of Scrolls in order to discuss this battle is Matt Howell of the Bronze Age Monsters podcast. Matt, welcome back.
Thank you, sir. How are you?
I'm okay. Hyped up about this.
Hyped. Me too.
Battle. We're in round two here of the fight, and we have a new fighter stepping into the ring today, Wolf the Barbarian, who is a character from Atlas Comics, written and drawn by Larry Hama. This is the reason why I have asked Matt to come in on this round, because Matt has a podcast, as I mentioned before, and I'm sure if you're a listener to the show, Matt's been on before, and we've talked about it before, but it's always good to revisit for anyone who's just checking this out. Matt, please, tell us about your podcast. Tell us what you're doing for this, your final season.
Sure. Yeah. So on Bronze Age Monsters, my co-host Jacob and I go through Bronze Age era comics. It's between Silver and whatever we are now. It's a fun era for us. We really dug it. We started off talking about Werewolf by Night. Then we talked about Manwolf, and then we ran out of werewolves to talk about. So we just said, let's keep going, but just keep doing different stuff. So we've talked about Son of Satan, a Bronze Age buffet of other monsters that Marvel put out. And this final season, we're trying to get out of the podcasting cage now, and we decided to do a big final heist, which is talking about Atlas Seaboard's 1 year of existence, where Martin Goodman, to give a middle finger to Stan Lee, said, screw you, I'm starting my own company, I'm taking you and DC down. And he launched, I believe, 31 books in 1 year, and it folded within a year. So we've been talking about each number one issue of those as the season goes on, and it's been really fun.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride. I've enjoyed going along with it. One of those characters, as I mentioned, is Wolf the Barbarian. I was recently a guest on your show to talk about Wolf the Barbarian. So in the show notes, folks, you'll see a link to that episode. Go check that out, because we're not really going to talk about Wolf in detail here. But because, as Matt said, Atlas giving the finger to the big two. And what other barbarian book was out there from the big two at this time? Conan the Barbarian. So Wolf and Conan the Barbarian will face off. Those issues that were on the stands at the same time that year, that same month, I should say, when we're done discussing these books, we will decide which is the better of the two barbarian books this month.
Do you think you could include the YouTube version too, if people want to see the video version?
Oh, that heck
you,
yeah.
And, all the art and all that stuff?
Yeah. Matt does put a lot of work into doing a YouTube version of the podcast as well, where they do showcase the artwork, and I will put the link for that. And the Wolf the Barbarian comics, you can find them to read on the internet.org Internet Archive. I suggest, if you have any interest, or if you want to follow along with how I'm covering the books, go check them out, man. Go read them. They're worth it. They're worth checking out for sure.
100%.
This also brings in Kothar, the swordsman. He is a barbarian out of the northern world of Cumbaria. And we do not know if he comes from beyond or from past time. Doesn't matter.
I'm sorry, did you say Cumbaria?
Cumbaria.
Wow. Okay. So some of this is just like refrigerator, fridge magnet, Conan clone.
Yes, okay. Exactly. And the reason why he applies to this battle is because the issues of Conan the Barbarian in question that we're going to battle against Wolf are an adapted Kothar story. So Kothar's in this fight too. Do you have any frame of reference for Kothar, Matt?
Not really. I just, since I've met you and befriended you, I've just kind of got way more into sword and sorcery stuff. So I just was digging around trying to find some pulp characters in the last few years. And I found him and like Kurik or something like that. I forgot his name, but
yeah, mm-hmm. His warlock.
Yes. But I have not read any of them yet. I've kind of just been collecting some PDFs for when I'm on vacation or something. I want some light reading. So I haven't dipped my toe in the pool though.
Yeah, I would suggest, start from the first book and read like the a short story, and you'll get the idea. You'll get the idea of what Kothar is all about.
I'm excited to read some Gardner Fox prose. I only know him from Silver Age Green Lantern, which I love his comics writing. So, yeah.
Yeah, I only know of his comics writing. It's funny. I discussed it on the previous episode. It was through those Thongor comics I covered in the very beginning where his name first came into focus for me. So your relationship with Conan, though, is a little bit more, I guess, has more to it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I might have mentioned this the first time I was on the show, but yeah, for me, Conan was always something. I loved the art as a tween kid, whatever. I'd pull Savage Sword off the shelf and look at it. It seemed like it was definitely for grown-ups, like heavy metal. Like I probably shouldn't be reading it, but I liked it. But Conan always seemed like the jock of comic stuff to me. Like I didn't feel like I was cool enough or manly enough to read Conan, so I never really got into it. I didn't see the appeal of sword and sorcery as a kid. It wasn't until same thing with like football. Like I didn't get into him until I was a fully formed adult when I was like, oh, I get it now. You don't have to be a meathead jock to like Conan. Real other people can like Conan, like you.
Dorks like me, man, can.
So for me, the gateway drug was I think it's Busiek and Nord's Dark Horse stuff.
Yeah, beautiful stuff.
I checked it out from the library, and it was just like it's like I put on the right glasses, prescription glasses for the first time. Like, oh my God, this is amazing. And I've never looked back. That was back when it was first being published.
That's one. That series I put right up there when people ask me like, where do I start with Conan? And I'm like, well, are you trying to like start with Marvel stuff? You just want to start with the character in comics. And when they say that, I typically will tell them the Busiek Nord is a great place to start because they do the Howard tales and they do them great and it's color and accessible. But then when people tell me where is the meat and the juice, I always tell them if you can get a copy, a collection of the first 10 issues of Savage Sword, I'm like,
Yeah.
that is it. That's the goods for sure,
Yeah.
if you ask me.
100%. I mean, between those two things, you got a stew going. I mean, it's all good. I don't think I've ever read a Conan story I don't like, but I'm not nearly as immersed in it as you are. But yeah, I mean, for those two things would be the first things I would say also to anybody who's wanting to get into it.
Right on, man. Well, tonight, let's get into it. We are going to be discussing Conan the Barbarian number 47 and number 48, which are shorter stories, a 9-page story and a 10-page story, respectively. I have a Dark Horse collection, Chronicles of Conan, and in volume 7, these issues are in there. And the interesting thing about it is that in the back, Roy Thomas has a little write-up, and in there he says that these issues were planned to be a single issue, but something happened at some point. He's not exactly sure. He assumes that someone missed a deadline, and so they had to put fill-in backup stories into these two issues. In the first issue, there is a backup story called Sanctuary, and it is by Wallace Wood. It is a reprint from Tower of Shadows number 8. You can read that actually. They did recent reprint in that Lost Marvels Volume 1, Tower of Shadows.
I need to
It's
get
in there,
that.
baby. I checked that out from the library and in so doing saw that there are no less, I think, than four Wallace Wood sword and sorcery short stories throughout in that book, in that volume. And I was like, well, I have to talk about all these.
Yeah.
So I will be covering that story Sanctuary in another episode, but it's going to be joined up with the other stuff.
So, can I ask, so you're saying like, what is your impression that there was the art was late? Why they had to do this?
Yeah, I think so. He just says someone missed a deadline. Roy Thomas says someone missed a deadline, and that's what he believes caused this issue to be broken up into two. And like the inkers, somebody helps out with issue 48. So maybe that kind of points the finger too. Maybe the artwork was dragging or something for the second half of the book.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if Dan Adkins, who inks, 47 was late. I don't know. He's an incredible tracing machine. I believe is what is known inside the industry. So interesting. Yeah, I was looking at like this issue on GCD, just like the breakdown of like what's in the issue, and I was, wondering why this was so short, and there was like an essay in there. Like it definitely sounded like they were scrambling to put some pages together to get this out when it was due.
And there's a pinup alongside that essay, which is about Conan as a youth. And Tim Conrad does a full page pinup for it, which is just a beautiful piece of work. And then just to get the other backup out of the way, in issue 48, the backup story is titled Episode, and it features Red Sonja. It is a small, well, it's just a short backup story. It is the same creative team that does the issue 48. Aside from Roy Thomas saying that it was a new strip, he doesn't say whether and when it was made or if it was meant to be in something else. It was never reprinted by Marvel. Dynamite Comics, when they got the Red Sonja license, they reprinted it a couple times. But I plan on folding that one into an episode where I'm going to do some short stories, some Sonja short stories that appear in as backups. I'm not ignoring those backups, but they do not pertain to our Battle of the Barbarians at this time.
Right. So you're thinking it's an inventory story that was just bought and paid for and in a shelf, and they had it for such emergencies.
Maybe like it might have they might have been thinking of throwing it in Savage Sword or something, you know, and then we're just like, ah, oh, throw that in there. I think that's it, all the stupid business I wanted to get out of the way. All right. Issue number 47, Conan the Barbarian from 1975, is titled Goblins in the Moonlight, which is surprising since we were told last issue it would be called The Rat's Dance at Ravengard. No promised rat dance. The cover is by Gil Kane and Tom Palmer. The story is an adaptation of Kothar and the Conjurer's Curse by Gardner F. Fox. It is written by Roy Thomas, penciled by John Buscema, inked by Dan Adkins, lettered by John Costanza, and colored by Glynis Wien. This comic book has been reprinted no less than 11 times
Holy
over the
smokes.
years. This cover is got Conan in the midst of a goblin horde swinging his sword. There's red blood on the cover.
Oh
And they're the
yeah,
Comics
that's.
Code Authority, man.
I didn't notice the red. Wow.
Because he's just hacking them down in the background. One of the goblins has our poor girl Stefania, mouth covered, trying to drag her away. There's a little bit of ruins and rock about, and it seems to be kind of a sunsetty thing, even though it says in a box, the goblins strike at midnight. We're not quite there, unless it's a
It's
midnight
Alaska.
sun, right?
Well, blood and side boob or under boob. This
Both.
cover's pushing it.
It is, dude. And that's that tone of it is kind of what I noticed. And then when I was looking at the sword, I just noticed for the first time there's like a symbol or a rune on Conan's sword, and it has no play whatsoever in the comic. Nor do I think, I don't know if it's supposed to reflect that, because Kothar has a magic sword called Frostfire, I believe is what it's called. And I don't recall if it has decoration on it like that. So I don't know what is going on with this sword.
I love the colors on this. I love Kane's layout. I mean, and Palmer's inks are beautiful, but the coloring is also, it just pops. The purple of the columns and the, because the fiery sunset, midnight sun sky. And all the red hobgobs in the background, like just to kind of show them like going off like hordes in the distance. So good.
The purples and the logo just pops, man. Like it's a great cover, man.
It sings.
And it's no lie. I mean,
No lies
we
detected.
got this coming. We got this coming our way.
Hey, have you ever found how long did they use this this corner box version of Conan holding that axe?
Oh,
How long did
that's a
they
good
use that one?
question.
I love that. I would love that on a shirt.
It has been, I've seen it on a shirt.
Oh, you
It's
have? Okay,
out
I'm gonna
there.
dig around for it. Okay. It is boss. That image of him with that logo below him would be fire on a shirt.
Yes, right?
Yeah.
I love the circle behind him. You know, like I'm not sure
Yeah.
what it's supposed to be, but it
That's
just
just the
kind of,
Marvel porthole.
yeah, it
They use that all
works.
the time.
Here's a synopsis of this issue, because we're going to probably spend our time just talking
Rapid.
about our favorite bits of the story and stuff like that. We've got two issues to cover, even though they're short. Our girl, Stefania, whom we met in the previous issue, convinces Conan to find a way to revive her master, the wizard Zoquenor, who is in a death-like state,
I
which
take that for
means.
restless leg syndrome, by the way, Zoquinor. A lot of side effects. Sorry.
Yeah. This
Please.
means.
I didn't mean to derail you. Deathless
No, it's
state.
great. No, please feel free to comment as you wish. But this means taking his body with them. And while Stefania changes into a revealing hippie chick outfit, Conan takes note of an odd star-shaped birthmark on her hip. They travel westward and settle into some ruins to sleep, but they are awakened by hobgoblins who have come seeking revenge on Zoquenor for some past slight. Conan and Stefania fight them off and realize they must continue on to find respite elsewhere. And that is our 9-issue comic book.
It's a shorty.
That's it. So, Matt, what'd you think? What's your big takeaways from this short story we've got here?
I really enjoyed this. Of course, Buscema's art is gorgeous. But yeah, I really enjoyed this interplay between Conan and Stefania. For the most part, there's some dodgy things in here, but yeah, this is fun. It was just kind of cool. You could tell some of this was lifted from Kothar or something else that's not Conan-y, because there's some things that just like Roy
Yes.
Thomas definitely kind of forced into the Conan mold, but that don't really fit. But he still did a pretty good job of like that retrofitting it, though. Like, I mean, I don't know. I have a lot to say about it, but yeah, I still. Are we just jumping around?
Yeah, let's just they are. Yeah, let's just go for it,
Okay.
man.
So yeah, I mean when they start this journey, there's this really nice page of them like traveling, and it's just a bunch of Thomas prose narration talking about some really nice moments in there. Like I really love this, like they have one horse between them and they're dragging the body on a little travois they had to make to drag the sorcerer behind them. And it just says stuff like there's this nice thing like where it says like Stefania is still asleep, her head is a soft warm weight at his back. Like I mean just little moments where like Thomas always remembers to like use sensory input to put you in the story like that, where it's like I can feel like a young, teen girl's like head like on my shoulder, and I can hear the horse kind of like so whinnying every once in a while, and hear the crickets go. Like it just he puts you in that place like that. He's so good at doing that. And what weirded me out was like he's so good at doing that, but then literally on the next page, the most like un-Conan-y thing, he's just. They stop for the night in some ruins, and he takes her off the saddle, and he's holding her as he's setting her down. He looks at her, and he's like, "Yeah, she's a kind of a little hottie," and just plants one on her sleeping lips. Weird. And he calls her little gypsy wildcat.
See, okay, now
What the hell is that?
that is Kothar. That's what that is. That is not Conan. And that it kind of it disappoints me. It disappoints me that he did that, because that is Kothar. And Conan has never done that in the comics, and he doesn't ever really do that in the comics. It's so weird to me. And same with him spying on her as she's changing. In
Into her
the
Coachella outfit.
Yeah, and it's a little, it's kind of presented as if he's kind of stumbling upon, like, he was getting the horse ready and setting the thing up to drag the body onto the horse, and then he goes looking for Stefania, who went off into the ruins, and he comes across her getting dressed. So it's a little bit of like he catches her in a state of mid-dress so he can see that symbol on her hip, which will come into play later on in the story. But then in the Kothar books, it's more creepy, and the kiss is super creepy. I hate it.
I mean, literally that what I'm talking about, this kiss thing, it's the top row of a page and there's three panels. You could just trim out that middle panel and it would not be creepy. He would almost look at her in a kind of a paternal sense and then call her a little gypsy wildcat because of her outfit, and just she's this little scrappy, she's been pushing him around and kind of pushing back on him, and it all makes sense. You just don't need that kiss.
No.
And yeah, I thought that was strange. And I also thought it was strange back at the beginning of the story when he's flashing back to fighting the mosaic monster, which wears underwear for some reason, which I thought was hilarious. But and then he's like, well, saying, what do I get out of taking this guy where you want me to take him? And then there's this wordless panel of her just looking at him like, come on. And he goes, all right, you talked me into it. Like, so basically saying, I will sleep with you. I was the way I read that. That also felt, that seemed like that's Kothar, not Conan, but I don't know how much Conan
It is
worked for
Kothar.
sex. Will barbarian for sex?
That's what Kothar does.
Okay.
Kothar, there's an entire story that's why he goes on the quest, is because the witch was like, well, you can love me. If you do this
Okay.
thing, then you can love me. And he's like, great. I'm do it. I'll
Okay.
do the job.
So Kothar's whipped. I would never say Conan is someone I would consider to be a driven by his smaller barbarian.
Yeah. There's even a point in this story, and it might be, it's at one of these points when they stop to rest and they kind of get into it. And Kothar even says to her, hey, I could throw you on the ground right now and take you. So it's like that's the guy. That's Kothar.
Okay. I was just watching Deathstalker last night because I wanted to finally watch the two
That's
movies so I can read the damn
Kothar,
comic
dude.
book.
That's Kothar.
Yet. And like, yeah, they encountered a magician, a female sorceress who doesn't wear a top. She just runs around doing magic with her boobs out. And then she decides to join up with them on the way to a tournament. And then just she's lying by the fire sleeping. And the dude just gets on her and starts kissing on her. Thankfully, she's quote unquote into it. But like, it came out of nowhere and was seemed really gross. I remember watching it when it first came out on video and thinking, that doesn't seem right. As like
None
a
of it's right.
10-year-old kid or 8-year-old kid.
None of that's right with Deathstalker, man. Like, he rescues the chick in the very beginning, and then he's like, well, now I'm going to sex you up.
Yeah.
And then there's the whole thing with the guy
Turns into the
the guy that turns into, like, it's a, that's just that it's when I watched Deathstalker, I'd never seen it before until like maybe last year, seriously.
Oh,
And
okay.
because I heard it was bad, and I was like, I don't want to watch if it's bad. And then I watched it, and I was like, it was right around the time you did Iron Jaw. And so
Okay.
I had these two versions of like the barbarian at the same time, and I was just like, oh. And then I did the Kothar book, and I was like, oh man, this is a whole thing.
Yeah, Deathstalker is like, it's an Argentinian American co-production, and it feels like it's made out of cocaine and fever dreams. It is a strange little thing, and it was weird seeing it as an adult. It was just as weird as I remembered it being when I was 8 or 9.
Yeah, let's just watch Sword and Sorcerer again. We'll be all right.
Yeah.
Least we always have shooting swords.
Yeah,
Okay.
but it just seemed like it was like the penthouse, penthouse produced
Yes.
Caligula, right? It felt the same thing where it's like penthouse's Conan, like. But yeah, so back to this, sorry. But yeah, the sexuality of Conan felt very out of place. He's not a prude by any means. He loves the ladies. He's a lusty guy in general. He lusts for violence, he lusts for good times, he's whatever, but like this just felt off characterization wise to me. I did like Stefania though. I like that she pushed back and she would sass him and stuff like that. I think she's a cool character. She's not just some little waif who's just gonna say, please, please, please help me do this. Please, please, please. She
Yeah,
pushes back and she
she
asks some
does.
questions. I also liked, as they're writing off at the very end of the story, she's kind of just asking like a bunch of questions. Like, do they get back on the saddle and they're starting to ride off in the night? And he says, you race on with questions like trout over the bottom stones of a stream. It's like, was that Nakoma or something like that from Grizzly Adams? Like, it was like Native American kind of wisdom he has. It was so funny.
That's direct out of the Kothar book.
Is it
Yeah.
okay?
There's a lot that is just direct out of the Kothar book. Like Roy sticks to it pretty solid.
I'm surprised that Marvel, I mean, I guess Roy was kind of running things at the time, right? More or less, but like that they would pay for the rights to adapt this Fox book instead of just say, Roy, just synthesize a quick story out of all the stuff you've ripped off everywhere else already. Or even that Roy didn't feel pride in his success that he's had with adapting Conan so far, just to like be like, I'm gonna tweak these parts of this Kothar story so this is more Conan. I'm surprised he did that, honestly.
I also tend to think sometimes if it's a time issue and if it's easy, you know what I mean? It's like, well, it's easy for me just to like straight up copy it and I don't have to spend a whole lot of time writing it. I can just word for word it a bunch and boom, we've got a handful of comics.
Yeah, but I get that if like there's AI or even a word processor, but like he can't even copy and paste anything. Like he has to literally transcribe it from like it's not an accident, right? I mean, it just seems I don't want to say lazy. It seems careless. He's not taking care of this character that he has shaped in comics form entirely for the world.
Some point it's just about making money, man.
Yeah, I
You just
guess
gotta sell
so.
comics.
Well, I told you this offline, but just reading through this yesterday for the first time, I was like, God damn, I think John was looking at Susan Day from like the end of the Partridge Family because Stefani looks exactly like Susan Day to me.
She could totally play her in a movie, man.
It's
It'd be,
crazy.
yeah, so great.
Yeah, if you folks don't know who that is, she was also on L.A. Law when she was an adult, but when she was a teen, she was on the Partridge Family. Just Google Susan Day, DEY, Partridge Family, and you'll see her. I think that's exactly what he was modeling her after.
And once you said that, then I applied it to Stefania. I was like, oh yeah, Stefania's bright like that. You know, you look at a picture of Susan and she's just bright.
Yeah.
And Stefania's got the same look going on. What'd you think of these hobgobs on the inside pages? 'Cause they're different. You know, they're John Buscema's hobgobs.
Yeah, I like the weird stuff that I'm assuming came from Kothar, although it would fit in a Howard story as well. But like this panel here, when they first appear, like Conan wakes up in the middle of the night as he's kind of, on watch, which means sleeping lightly, and there's these ruins. And then he wakes up and they prop the wizard up in his trevoir. Well, I guess that's how you say it,
Yeah,
I'm
I love that
assuming.
they prop him up.
Prop him up against a column, and he's in his sleep is emitting this fine mist of silver, and it's like drawing all of these things, but they're so cool looking, like they're big distended bellies, and they're all just like they look like the fish bellies anyway. Like, they're colored, they're all pale and yellowish and greenish, and just have little cloths covering their groins and behinds, but they just have these huge. They look like Norm from Cheers if he was hairless. And I'll just kind of like crawling towards him soundlessly in the night, drawn to him. I love that panel. I love this whole issue. I thought was a blast.
Awesome. They also make a good point to show that Conan is still wearing this amulet, this magic amulet that he's supposed to be delivering to another wizard. They don't really mention the amulet in the prose part of the comic, but they make a point to show it to you during combat scenes. It's flying around.
They do mention it in that thing, that page when I was saying where it's just them traveling through the night and it's just this
Oh.
nice peaceful moment. He does mention like that the sorcerer he's taking it to has, I mean,
Okay.
the ruler he's taking it to has two sorcerers that would, it's meant to protect him from them, Falkar.
I guess I didn't read it that closely on my reread, Matt.
Thank God I'm here.
I'm faking this whole thing. I'm so glad you're here, dude.
No, but I love this. I had just a huge grin reading this yesterday. I thought it was a blast.
Awesome.
I did think, although, I guess Roy, I was, lauding his like sensory input and the way he was putting the reader in the story and how good that works. There's also Roy things that I don't love as much. Like when she is fighting against the hobgobs, it says something like she's like says she has a fear-born strength for which a later age will have a name, adrenaline. Like there's some weird things Roy does like that are so nerdy that always pull me out of the story. I just kind of like, I don't
She
know.
goes at that hobgob, man. She's strangling that dude.
Yeah, she's awesome. I loved her. But both of the female characters that we encounter in this episode, I really liked.
Her outfit is great too. It's super revealing, but it's pretty fun.
How long does this Kothar adaptation go through?
It
I need
goes
to get the
through
payoff for the birthmark.
Issue 51. Roy
Okay.
wanted it to end at issue 50. He wanted it to be a big bang ending, But because of the they had to split this story up into two shorter issues, it pushed the 50 goal
Oh,
over the
gotcha.
line. Yeah.
Spread it out.
Yeah. All right. Boy, oh boy, here we go. Now, again, we're getting promised something about Raven Guard because it says next issue, The Blood Baron of Raven Guard, which is also a great freaking title, but it is not the title we get. Issue 48, Conan the Barbarian, also from 1975. The Rats Dance at Raven Guard. Finally, we get that name we were promised for. Last issue, again, a cover by Gil Kane. This time, inks Dick Giordano. The story is once again continuing the adaptation. Same artistic team, but we have now added Dick Giordano into the inking of this issue as well, not just Dan Adkins.
Can I say this cover could not be more Gil Kane?
Yes.
Like that superimposed death in the background, like that having that, kaiju death just looming over. That's very Kane. Bottom left, he gets to see up somebody's nostrils. So it's like, if you had any doubt it's Kane, we see up someone's nose, it's Kane. Great cover, though. Although
And the
it's a
broad
little.
belts. Like he loves to do
It's
like that
true.
guy behind the up the nose shot. That guy
Yeah.
has a big, huge broad belt on. He loves to do broad belts. Conan even wears a broad belt in his drawings.
My only criticism of this is whoever did the coloring, I would have preferred that the characters behind the Rampage at Raven Guard, if they had been colored like in purple or dark blue to kind of put them, it's a little busy. So
It
they could have been
is,
in
yes.
shadow, and I think it would have been a stronger cover. But that's other than that, I love it.
I agree. I agree. Because Conan is charging a horse into this mass of, we come to find out, robbers. He's mowing them down with the horse and sword and
I
specter of
think,
death in the background.
yeah, the broad belt dude, the nostril dude, and all the other dudes in the foreground should have all been in purple or blue to it's a little noisy visually with all the color.
Yeah. Because I kind of don't know where to look.
Yep.
I'm
That's a
not
that's
drawn anywhere. I'm if anything, I'm drawn right into the horse's face and it stays there.
I do the same thing. My eyes go from Conan down the horse's snout down to those dudes where it's just a bunch of noise, and they keep it just kind of circles around in a circle at the bottom right of the page, and it's not what my eyes are supposed to do. I bet the black and white original is gorgeous though.
Here's a synopsis. Conan and Stefania continue their journey westwards to Falkar. Along the way, Conan tells Stefania about his initiation rite at the age of 15. It was a test on his ability to survive in the wilderness. In the mountains, he meets Ursula, a beautiful priestess of the wild with large ice bears as her servants. Ursula tells him that he will encounter more priestesses like her later in life. And then Ursula becomes the first woman that invites Conan to lie with her. Then Stefania tells Conan about her earliest memories and her upbringing at Zoquinor's home. Some days later, they encounter the robber baron, Torkoal Mol of Raven Guard, and his men. They demand tribute for their passage through his lands. Conan kills one of them, and Stefania attempts to flee, but they are both captured, and Conan is beaten to unconsciousness. He awakens to find himself flat on his back, hands tied to stakes, as the rats of Raven Guard emerge from the surrounding rocks and burrows. 10 pages. Whole lot of stuff.
So is Ursula from Kothar?
Ursula is from Kothar. Here's what Roy says in that very same volume. Roy felt the flashback sequence from the book seemed to augment the background hinted at by Howard for Conan. So it was incorporated wholesale into Marvel's vision of the Cimmerian.
Wait, the whole flashback is Kothar?
The whole flashback is Kothar.
Oh. Even the sending him out into the woods to,
The whole
oh,
flashback is Kothar.
okay.
Wild, right?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
A decade later, Roy had Conan encounter Ursula again in issue 258. But before that, writer Alan Zelenets, is that how you say his name? Do you know how to
I
say
th
that
I think
usually?
I think that's how you say it. That's how I say it in my head.
Alan actually writes issue 145, and he revisits this flashback scene. And spoiler for an old comic, everybody. He also gives us the result of that pairing. The son of Conan and Ursula, Conobar, priest of the wild, who looks just like Conan, except for he's younger and he wears a polar bear claw on one hand, like he's Claw from DC Comics.
That's canon.
It's canon, dude.
Konobar.
Conobar. But of course they like hem and haw about, is it his son? Does he have to fight and kill his own son, maybe? And then in issue 258 that Roy Thomas writes, it's funny that Ursula pops up every 100 issues, but then so she comes in 258, they have a conversation about Conobar and how Ursula is mad at Conan about Conobar.
I think someone that visited Switzerland brought me home a Kono bar. It was delicious, by the way.
Oh man, I would eat a Conobar right now.
This one I liked. I love the flashback. The present day stuff is pretty fleeting, just kind of setting up an exciting incident to make you buy the next issue, right? But all the stuff with Ursula I thought was cool. I love when she first appears when he's out there and he encounters these two polar bears and he's like, well, I'm dead. And then the next panel, when you see her for the first time, wrapped in the third bear's robe of fur, she's amazing. Please tell me you've seen Cabin Boy.
Yeah, I was gonna make a These Parts Are Clean joke for sure.
I just showed that to my daughter. It was like on Tubi or Pluto or something free. And I was just like, oh, I'm gonna watch, put this on. And my daughter was just passing through and she's like, what is this?
Yeah.
Like, that's Roland Schitt from Schitt's Creek. She's like, oh my God. And then she just kind of sat down, you know, she was passing through and just sat down and watched the entire movie with me. And she loved it. She's like, this was a flop? And I was like, massive flop. Everyone hates this movie. And she's like, I love that movie. It's hilarious. Anyway, I could not help but think about Anne Magnusson's character
Yeah.
from that movie.
Yeah. So funny. I'm gonna have to look again because I want to say a handful of months ago, my wife and I had got a mat on and we're like, we need to watch Cabin Boy, and we couldn't find it anywhere. So it was like, oh, all right, do we buy it? I don't know. And so we kind of dropped it. I'll have to go back and see if it's popped up anywhere because yeah, dude, I saw Cabin Boy in the movie theater. I love that stupid movie.
Well, I mean, that's right up your alley, right? I mean, it's Captain's Courageous, but it's also all the Sinbad, Harryhausen type of stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a lovely homage to adventure, stop motion action adventure films. So,
Yeah, it's a blast.
but yeah, I can see a lot of people hate it, but I've always loved it.
To get back to this flashback, I love that they do something real simple here where to present the flashback story, the paneling increases thickness. So the
Whoa.
panels that are our flashback are in a real thick black line. And I like that simple effect.
That is a cool alternative to the soft, you know, like balloony, cloudy type of
Yeah.
wow, that's neat. I did not notice that.
And they carry it through the whole thing. At first I was like, when you look at the opening splash page, it has an inset flashback panel on it. And so I could see where you're like, well, make it thick there so that it stands out. But it continues on the pages that are just flashback. That thick panel rides the whole thing. I love it. I love it. And then when you jump out of his flashback and you go into Stefania's flashback, it just pops right back into thick panels.
Yeah, wow. Good call out, man. I did not notice that. That was neat.
I love Ursula too, especially in this, because when Gardner F. Fox is writing Ursula, she is a very strong, independent female character. She's like a near goddess.
Yeah.
And she presents herself that way. She carries herself that way. Everything she says has that sort of a feel. When Alan Zelenets did it, it was just a flashback. He didn't add anything to it. But when Roy writes her in that 258, she feels totally different. The way she talks, and she's way more like, oh, Conan, like, where here she's like, she's making choices herself, like she's strong set in her position. That panel of her when she's laughing at Conan when in his naivety he says, because she's, you know, she's she says, you know, you're the youngest man to ever find me. And she's like, but men from your tribe do come and visit me from time to time. And he's all like, why? And she laughs, and that close up of her face, I love it. Her heavy eyelids. She's so sultry in that panel, like beautifully drawn and inked. Great. I love that. I love that panel.
I love the first panel on that page of her just reclining on the pillows and with a cup of wine. Just like, I mean, she's obviously in control here, right? I love that she's drawn, and I love that she says, "I'm a priestess of the wild." So, like you're saying, she's almost like this connection between the divine and the natural, and that's her role. Is like, and she's saying, "There's others of me. There are some that run with the deer. There's some with wolves and lions." Like, I love this idea. There's these priestesses, and this is this role that exists in this world to protect and serve the gods of whatever nature. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. And you've been reading the Titan Savage Sword magazine.
Yes.
Did you see that story that had that bear priestess storyline in it? It was I believe it's written by Jason Aaron. It was a two-parter and it's drawn by Jeff Isherwood.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even make that connection.
I thought at first I was like, oh my God, is Aaron doing an Ursula thing? But it's a whole nother thing. But it's the same. But it kind of has the same sort of beats and result.
Yeah. I don't know why I did not make that connection. Yeah, Ursula kicks ass.
She deflowers our young Conan and sends him back on his way to his people with a brooch.
I
To
love
she
proof.
says, she says, tell that show this to the old bros back at your village. Which he does, and they all like they thought he was dead because he was gone for so long. And then when they see the brooch, they all like slap him on the back and laugh, and they're like, yeah, bro, you did
Dude, those elders, once they see the brooch, that panel of them slapping on the back and laughing,
yeah.
holy crap, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So Stefania has amnesia, more or less. So I'm gathering from her flashbacks, she just kind of has vague, fuzzy memories, and then she remembers being with Zoquenor.
Yeah, I'm sure Zoquenor has done some manipulations.
Put the
Plus,
hoodoo on her. A
there might
whammy.
have been. Well, okay. So Stefania was given unto Zoquenor at such a young age that she really doesn't even know her origin yet,
Okay.
anyways. So.
At the end of her flashback, I don't want to rush you through this, but
No, go. Let's do it.
there's two lovely panels in the middle of that page, which is page 10 in the issue, but like where he's like covering her with a blanket next to the fire, and then there's just him just reclined where he's kind of got his arms up behind his head and he's kind of leaning on a rock, just kind of on watch again, probably catnapping, snoozing, but listening and being awake. I love those little moments like that whenever those are in here. I thought that was awesome.
Know what that didn't take? It didn't need
Kissing.
a little kiss, a little stolen kiss, even though it says her lips receive it or like re return it. Come on, man. We know what you're returning here, buddy. Shortly after this is where they run into Torkoal Mo, the Baron of Ravengard, the robber baron, of panel of close up of his face. Man, I love when Bushima draws dudes like that. With that totally thin, gross, greasy mustache. That's the Long Ming mustache. I love it. And then
Looks like Basil Rathbone.
their eyebrows are alive. You know, they're like
Yeah.
living things. Love that so much. Anybody that tries to stop Conan on the road and say, you got to pay a toll for going this way, Conan is not going to stand for that. And Blades capture. Overwhelmed, tied to the stake, food for rats. That's what this all ends up.
I'm definitely excited to read the rest of this, but I didn't like this one as much. I love the flashback, but again, I think it suffers for being shorter form and bisected by just being a flashback and then an exciting incident. So it didn't feel as a fully formed chapter to me, but I have no gripes about the art or anything. It was just kind of the structure felt odd. It wasn't as satisfying.
Yeah, and so if you think about if those if those two did get smashed together into a single issue, I mean, I guess it has a couple beats of action, but it's a lot of talking and flashback. So, I mean, it would have been a heavy read, really, as a
True.
single issue.
That's true.
So maybe it's a good thing it got broken up. Next issue, Wolf Woman. Huh. Let's see. He met a bear chick. Now there's gonna be a wolf chick.
Are you covering that as well?
Oh yeah, I am going to ride out the entirety of the Kothar story. It does cross over with Wolf one more time. And then I think because there was a skip in Wolf's publishing, there's two issues that come out of Conan where there's no Wolf. And then the third issue of Wolf comes out after this Kothar story is done. I got to be complete about the Kothar story though and cover it all.
I totally get that. I'm wondering if that's, as we talked about on Bronze Age Monsters, issue two was almost late because Larry Hama's mother was dying, so the Krusty Bunkers came in and pitched in. Everyone helped him finish the art, so Wolf the Barbarian 2 came out on time. I'm wondering if Larry had to step down, and so they had to find Steve Skeets to write issue 3, and so on, if they were scrambling at the time, and that's why that was late.
So our previous issue, issue 47, was the issue that was on the stands the same time as Wolf number one. And again, if you want to hear us talk about Wolf number one, go to the Bronze Age Monster YouTube page. It'll be an episode on the podcast for like a listening feed as well. We go into it on Wolf number one, man. And so this is a battle of the barbarians. We've got three barbarians in the ring. I think do you want to hear what I where my where I'm at, Matt, or do you want to go first?
No, please, you go.
Okay. Firstly, again, this is the second round Kothar is in. It is the second round Kothar loses. Although it is the story that has made these comics, I don't like Kothar's. He's super handsy, like that guy that dated Marge in The Simpsons. Don't mind my wandering hands. So Kothar, no go there, bro. Between that first issue of this and first issue of Wolf, I'm going with Wolf number one as the better of the two barbarian books. Reasons why, again, I said go check out the YouTube video and you'll know why we why I shouldn't put words in your mouth, Matt, why I think Wolf is the better book that month. So if you can travel through time and buy one barbarian book off the shelf that month, give it to Wolf.
So, the criterion is the better book, not the better barbarian.
Right, the better issue.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'd have to go with Wolf the Barbarian as well. If we're just weighing who's a better barbarian, it's Conan, hands down. As we discussed in great depth on the show, Wolf isn't much of a barbarian. We kind of even I think one of us suggested it might have been Wolf the Warrior for alliteration, and thinking that somebody in editorial said no, it needs to have barbarian in the title, because Wolf is not a barbarian by any literal or any figurative definition. Like, he's a noble, he's noble, and he's doesn't act like a barbaric in any way, so he's not a barbarian. But I think it was a more artfully done book, especially because, I mean, we just loved it. It was a great origin story. It was note perfect throughout the whole thing. It felt instantly classic when we read it and talked about it. So this is a great adventure story, but it feels like it's Conan being written by someone else, because it's not Conan.
Right.
It's Kothar.
It's Kothar.
I did love this a lot, though. This is a blast.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. Kind of almost unfair to compare the books. And when I was thinking it up and looking up what books were out at the time, DC doesn't have a barbarian book at this time. There is an issue of Beowulf that comes out the same month as an issue of Wolf, but I was looking for barbarian in the title. I was like, well, it's got to have barbarian. Kothar, Wolf, Conan all have barbarian in the title, so we that's where I landed. But I was kind of like, oh man, maybe I should do an issue of Beowulf in there, and then I was like, no, I can't
Yeah,
start doing that.
you can't let the scope creep happen. Otherwise, you'll be doing this till you're dead. Was Claw the Unconquered, whatever it is, was that out at this point, or was that
I
in the
don't
works?
know. I don't think Claw was out yet.
Or
But man,
Stalker?
Claw. Holy crap. That was a book for the longest time I discounted. And then again, I think around the same time you were poking around and you asked me about Wolf. And that got me poking around. And I was like, well, then do you know Claw? And then you were like, here's all of Claw.
Yeah, I think you told me about it, and I immediately went and downloaded, like, made a digital omnibus out of the entire thing. Yeah, it's like, holy crap, this looks amazing. I
Yeah.
still need to make a bind of that. I need to buy that one issue of something that you told me. Like, if you want to be a completist, you got to put this in there. I forgot to buy it.
Dude, if you want to be a completist, you got to get 2 issues of Warlord.
Warlord, yeah.
2 issues of the Warlord to get some Claw backup stories.
Being a binding OCD completist person is it's troubling. So which issue is going up against Wolf the Barbarian number two?
Wolf the Barbarian number 2, I believe, is
That
against.
49? More than you guys, I was absolutely blown away by how much I liked two. I thought it was a great one and done Conan-esque style story, and the art was gorgeous, even though it was that one where everyone pitched in and helped, so it had like 10 people on art duties.
I loved issue 2 as well.
You could have come to my defense more on the show then.
Oh, really?
I felt I was standing alone a little bit there, but that's okay. No hard feelings.
Well, I'm just trying to save a lot of my shit for this show, Matt.
You
I'm being
son
a
of a
little
bitch,
selfish,
you.
sir. A little selfish, sir.
No problem.
All right. Well, I think, Matt, you got any more final thoughts on what we did here today?
No, I had a great time. Thanks for inviting me on, and I'm looking forward to reading the next few issues and hearing your thoughts on them.
Cool, man. Did you go back and read the first one? Did you read the Shock
No, I'm
Off
going to,
issue?
though.
I mean, you got the flashback in this first issue 47 of what happened in 46, but yeah, man,
But
seeing.
Mosaic Monster, I need the full
Yeah, man.
thing.
Yeah. And here, to go back to that, and you said it's funny that he's wearing pants. So my son is infatuated with the Xenomorph and has never really watched any of the movies. He's seen bits. So last night he says to me, Dad, let's do them all. And I want to start in the chronological order that they would be. So we started with Prometheus last night.
Oh, the narrative chronology, not
Yeah, the
real world.
narrative.
Oh.
And
Do not recommend that for anything.
well, that's how he wants to do it. And
I understand.
I'm
It's
here to
just
support.
wrong.
I'm here to support his alien bullshit. And so there is a bit where the synthetic in that one says, they're like telling him, why are you going to put on the space helmet when we go out and explore this planet? And he said, because, like to make you comfortable, we're made to look like you to make you more comfortable. And I think that's why Shalkoth has pants on, Matt. It's just
Okay.
to make, if you're going to have a disco ball golem walking around your home, and you want to feel more comfortable around him, put pants on
Sure. Okay. It feels like it's for the comics code people. Like, just like, I don't even want to hear from you guys, so I'm just gonna preemptively put pants on my monster, even though it's man-made and doesn't need genitalia.
Yeah.
But like you're saying, Prometheus. Fassbender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, brother. If you want to tell people where to find you.
You can find us on YouTube. Look for Bronze Age Monsters. That's our channel. This entire season, we've been doing video versions of our podcast. So we're showing all the art. We put some visual gags in there and have fun stuff like that. But if you just prefer to listen, you can find us by going to your podcast feed and searching for Bronze Age Monsters. We're pretty much everywhere. Or you can just, if you don't know how to do that, or you don't have a podcast feed and you just want to download some episodes in your browser, just go Libsyn Bronze Age Monsters. You'll find us.
Huzzah.
Huzzah.
All right. So before we get out of here, I did want to say that there is a loot bag out there for anyone who happens to be at one of the conventions, the fall conventions that Michael Munshaw is going to be appearing at. I post on Instagram alongside every episode of the show that I post. I am posting his dates where you can find him. There's comics, buttons, stickers, game aids. Oh my gosh, all kinds of stuff. And my cousin did a original sketch card for it. If you see him, you'll get some of that loot. If it doesn't get picked up, it gets folded over to the next convention. And if nobody gets anything there, it folds into the last one. So if you run into him at the last one, you get the whole schmear. And that's what you put on a bagel. So if you do get some, send me a message. If you go to Good Pencil Podcast or goodpencil.com/podcast, all of our shows are there. You can see how to get a hold of me there. You can message me on Instagram, all that good stuff. Quick programming note. I am going to pause the Battle of the Barbarians right here. I know we're just getting started with it, but I do want to drop a couple episodes in October to celebrate the spooky month, and then we will get right back to the Battle of the Barbarians in November. But if you want to read along to Solomon Kane's stories, I think he's such a great character for the feel and the season of October Halloween. We will be talking about a story in Dracula Lives number 3 from October 1973, Castle of the Undead, as well as a story from The Savage Sword of Conan number 14, September 1976. That story is titled The Silver Beast Beyond Torkertown. I sure hope you can join us for that. If not to read, at least to listen to us talk about reading them. All right, back to the show. Until next time, make sure to support your local libraries. Make sure to support your local comic book shops. And when you are traveling west to Falkar and you've got a traveling companion who happens to fall asleep before you do, don't kiss him.
For the love of God, Crom.
Love a Crom.
And Mitra.
All right, Matt. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you being here today, buddy.
It was fun. Thank you.
Right on, man.